ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 2 பாதா 3 வியததிகரணம் ந வியதஸ்ருதேஹ அஸ்தி து. வி சா தீஸ் டூ சூத்ராஸ் ஆஃப் தி ஃபஸ்ட் அதிகரணம் ஆஃப் தி தேர்ட் செக்ஷன் தேர்ட் பாதா ஆஃப் செகண்ட் சாப்டர் நோன் அஸ் வியததிகரணம் இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். அண்ட் தி ஃபாலோயிங் 3 சூத்ராஸ் தட் இஸ் 3, 4 அண்ட் 5th சூத்ரா ஆஃப் திஸ் அதிகரணம் தே ரிலேட் டு ஏகதேசி மதம். We already saw Purva Pakshi, Ekadeshi and all. And now let us read the sutra, third sutra for today. Gaunya Sambhavat. Gaunya Sambhavat. This is the third sutra of the second pada, second chapter, 219th running Brahma Sutra. Here, our friend Ekadeshi, he gives the wrong definition. And we have to refute this later. First, we will do the general analysis of this sutra. Here, the Ekadeshi, he is the second Purvapakshi. He tries to resolve the problem of Akasha Shrishti. If you remember, that is the context, the creation of Akasha space. So he wants to solve the problem of Akasha Shrishti in a particular way. And according to him, Akasha space is Nityaha, like Nyaya philosophy. The Nyaya philosopher also says Akasha is Nityaha. Like Atma, Akasha is also Nityaha, it is also all-pervading. Therefore, he says, what Shruti wants to communicate is Akasha is not born. There is no birth for Akasha because it is permanent. It is Nityaha. That is the contention. And he says the Chandogya Upanishad 6th chapter, 2nd section, mantra 3, which we already saw in the last class, he says it is correct. And what is that mantra? Tadaikshata bahusyam praja yeyeti tattejo srijata tatteja aikshata bahusyam praja yeyeti tadapo srijata தஸ்மாத் யத்ர க்வசோசதி ஸ்வேததே வா புருஷஸ்தேஜஸ ஏவ ததத்யாபோ ஜாயந்தே. ததைக்ஷத பிரம்மன் டிசைடட், ஹி விஷுவலைஸ்ட், பஹுஸ்யாம் பிரஜா ஏயேதி, ஐ ஷால் பி மெனி, ஐ ஷால் பி பார்ன், தத் தேஜோ ஸ்ருஜத, ஹி தென் கிரியேட்டட் ஃபயர், தேஜஹ மீன்ஸ் ஃபயர், அக்னி, தத் தேஜ ஐக்ஷத, தென் த ஃபயர் it also tried to visualize. It decided bahusyam praja yeyeti, I shall be many, I shall be born, tad aposrijata, then fire produced water, tasmad yatra kvachashochati svedateva purushaste jasayeva tadadhyapojayante. That is why whenever or wherever a person moans or perspires, he produces water. This is what Upanishad says. Therefore, in Chandogya Upanishad, he does not talk of space srishti at all, Akasha srishti at all. It starts with Agni only. So, Akasha is unborn according to Chandogya, this particular mantra. So, srishti begins with only Agni. But Taittiriya Upanishad says, Tasmadva etasmadatmana Akasha sambhutaha Akasha dvayuho வாயோரக்னிஹி அக்னேராபஹ அத்ய பிருத்திவி பிருத்திவ்யா ஓஷதயஹ ஓஷதீப்யோன்னம் அன்னாத் புருஷஹ. இட் டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் ஆல் தி ஃபைவ் எலிமெண்ட்ஸ். ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மன் ஆகாஷா அரோஸ், அண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஆகாஷா ஏர், ஃப்ரம் ஏர் ஃபயர், ஃப்ரம் ஃபயர் வாட்டர், ஃப்ரம் வாட்டர் எர்த், அண்ட் ஃப்ரம் எர்த் ஹர்ப்ஸ், அண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஹர்ப்ஸ் ஃபுட், அண்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஃபுட் ஹியூமன்ஸ். திஸ் இஸ் தி Srishti Prakaranam according to Taittiriya Upanishad. Now naturally the question will come, if you accept Veda as Pramanam, how do you account for the Akasha Utpatti mentioned in Taittiriya Upanishad? And he says, Akasha Utpatti is to be explained as figurative statement and not factual statement. Then he also says, Akasha has to be accepted as Nityam because logically you cannot explain origination of Akasha. Its Utpatti is untenable. It is impossible according to them. So if Shruti talks about Akasha Utpatti, Shruti is illogical. In Kathopanishad also it is said that the people in heaven are immortal. Amaraha, Amartyaha. It says all that. But we come to know that Swarga people are also mortal. Shruti makes illogical statements then. What is mortal has been said as immortal, and we say that it is figurative immortality and not real immortality. How? It means compared to earthly life, they have a very long life. Devas may have a very long life compared to earthly life. For our 1 year is a day for them. It is like permanent job and a temporary job. Permanent job means what? It means compared to temporary period, permanency is apekshika only. Similarly, Akasha Utpatti should not be taken literally at all, but should be taken figuratively only. And Shankaracharya, he elaborates the views of this Ekadeshi. First, let us see how Akasha Utpatti is illogical according to Ekadeshi. He gives three reasons. First is Karana Abhavat. According to him, you cannot talk about the cause of Akasha, Karanam, Abhavat. He says this with the tarkika attitude, logical attitude in mind. With a logical mind, he says, according to logic, tarka. We have to think in line with the Nyaya philosopher now. Let us forget Vedanta for a moment. He says, every object created is endowed with constituent parts. Any object that is created is endowed with constituent parts. Yet karyam tat sa avayavam. Avayam means part. Yet karyam, any object that is created. Then the next point he says is, all the constituent parts alone is the karanam of this product. That means what? The constituent parts alone, they are assembled together and a product is made. So for example, wall, if you take a wall is a product having the constituent parts of bricks, mortar and all that. And bricks become the cause of the wall. Therefore, he says, the constituents or avayavam is the karanam, and this avayava dravya rupa karanam is assembled together and becomes avayavi dravyam. So avayava and avayavi. And this avayavi dravyam will be full of avayavams, constituents. And therefore, to find out the cause of a thing, what you need to do? You find out its constituent parts. And the constituent parts, constituents, avayavas, they alone will be the karana. That is how in Tarka Shastra, earth has been reduced to bits and those bits put together is earth. Then we come to molecules and molecules joined together is avayavam. Molecules become atoms. Atom further is reduced to subatomics. Thus, Tarka Shastra has reduced the earth into paramanus. We have seen this as paramanus earlier. So we have paramanu of jalam, paramanu of agni, paramanu of air and all that. And if we split avayavi dravyam, it will become avayavam constituents. Avayavam is karanam and avayavi is karyam. Now keeping this in mind, this Ekadeshi, who is the follower of Tarka way of thinking, is a Tarkika. He says, Akasha is never a Karanam because we have not seen any constituent parts of Akasha. There are no avayavas at all. Akasha has no constituent parts and Akasha is Niravayavam. Akasha is not Pratyaksham. We cannot arrive at avayava dravyam for Akasha at all. If you arrive at constituent parts for Akasha, from those avayava dravyam, avayavi akasha can be produced, but Akasha has no constituents. Prithivi Paramanu has constituent parts. Agni Paramanu. Agni has constituent parts in the form of Agni Paramanu. Jalam has constituent parts in the form of Jala Paramanu. Vayu has got constituent parts in the form of Vayu Paramanu. But Akasha has no Paramanu or the constituent parts at all. Therefore, argument number one is what? Akasha is Niravayavam, like Atma. Then the second argument this Ekadeshi gives is to establish that Akasha is unborn. Akasha Pragabhava Asambhava, Asambhavat. It means that if you talk about the production of something, it follows that before the production, that is Pragabhava. Prag means before. Before the production, it was non-existent. And the non-existent or origination is called Prakabhava. The non-existence or origination is called Pragabhava in this case. Now we are able to conceive the origination of the objects in creation because we are able to conceive the absence of that thing. We are able to conceive the origination of the objects of creation because we are able to conceive the absence of those things. We can conceive of Pragabhava, the absence of everything like water, like Agni, Vayu, Prithivi, and all of them. We talk about the Pragabhava, the absence of space itself. And how we can talk about the origination of space, and that should have been Karanam for origination of space if it is existent. So if you talk about the cause before origination of space, then you have to talk of where the cause existed. Because space is the one in which everything exists. So if you want to talk about the origination of space based on some Karanam, where that Karanam existed, you have to accommodate the cause of space, because before space origination, there is no space. Therefore, one cannot talk about absence of space, but talk about the absence of things in the space. We cannot talk about absence of space itself, but talk about the absence of things in the space. Therefore, Pragabhava Asambhavat. This is the second reason. And the third reason, he says it, Akasha is unlike the other four elements. Other four elements, like Agni, Vayu, all that thing. Other four elements are endowed with parts, as we said earlier, Savayavam. They are limited in nature. And none of them is all-pervading also. All are parichinnam. And therefore, we can talk about the origination of a vastu, an object, and Akasha being all-pervading, you do not compare with other four elements. Akasha should never be compared to other four elements. When Tarka talks of seven dravyas, in Tarka Shastra, they talk about seven dravyas. Akasha is not one of them. And it is compared to Atma itself. Akasha is Nityaha, Sarvagatatva, Atmavate. It is all pervading and it is eternal. Akasha Srishti is never talked about by the modern scientists also. In this sutra, Gaunya Sambhavat, the word Gauni, we should understand. Since it is literally not possible to talk the birth of Akasha literally, we should take it only figuratively. These are all whose arguments? Ekadeshi's argument. We never produce space. When we make space to accommodate someone, it is figuratively space is created. When you, for example, dig a well, it looks as though you have created space for water. And in fact, you have only removed the earth, but it is figuratively said that you have made a hole when you dig a well. So there is no Upanishad contradiction here at all. And Chandogya Upanishad talks about figurative origination only, while Taittiriya Upanishad talks about literally the origination of space. This is the Ekadeshi's contention. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. Gauni. Gauni means the origination of space is apparent. It is not real. Asambhavat. Being untenable or illogical. Why it is apparent? Because it is untenable, it is illogical. This is the running meaning of the sutra. So Gauni here means figurative, not real. Akasha Utpatti is non-actual. It is not factual. Therefore, the statement of Akasha's origination is only figurative in the Upanishad. Akasha Utpatti Srishti is Gauni and non-factual. And another example we give in scriptures is, you have given this example earlier also, the person is like a lion. It is a figurative statement and should not be taken literally. Similarly here, asambhava means it is impossible. So we give the figurative meaning only and not the actual meaning, literal meaning. When the actual meaning is not there, we give figurative meaning. And figurative meaning is less powerful than the actual meaning. This also we have discussed earlier. We have to take only primary meaning most of the time. Secondary meaning only will be taken only if primary meaning becomes not according to the context, not relevant. So when the primary meaning fails, then only we should take the secondary meaning. Hence it is taken that Akasha is not born. That's the conclusion. The word Akasha is used in the secondary sense in such phrases. For example, you say make room for so and so, make room for such and such object. There is no room and all that thing. We make all those statements. All those spaces only one. We say there is no space. We say there is no room. We say use make room for this person, for this object. So space is designated as being of different kinds. When we speak of the space, part space, the space of a house, space of something. And even in Vedic passages, some of a form of expression such as he used to place the wild animals in the spaces. There are such statements come in the Upanishads, in the scriptures. So we conclude that those Shruti texts also, which speak of origination of Akasha, must be taken to have secondary sense or figurative meaning alone. This is Ekadeshi's contention. Now let us go to the next sutra. Sutra number 4. Shabdacha. 220th running Brahma Sutra, Shabdacha. And this sutra also relates to Ekadeshi's contention, Ekadeshi Mata. He says, not only from the standpoint of logic, but also Shruti Pramanam says, that is Shruti Veda says, Akasha is unborn. Previously, Yukti Pramanam was given. Yukti is what? Logic. Logically, he tried to explain in the previous sutra. Here he is taking recourse to Shruti Veda itself. Logically, Ekadeshi said, Akasha is Nityaha. It is eternal. So it is not produced. Here he says, Shruti says that Akasha is Nityaha. Earlier he said logically. Now he says Shruti itself says. And he quotes for this the second chapter, third section, third mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We have seen some of these mantras earlier. Ata amurtam vayuschantarikshancha etadamurtam. I am not reading the full mantra. This is only relevant for us. Amurtam vayuschantarikshancha etat amurtam. Here it is said, air, vayu and akashantariksham are immortal. Other three elements. Antariksham is in between space, but we take a space here. Other three elements were said to be murtam. And Akasha is seen as Amurtham. Akasha and Vayu are Amritham, eternal. So if it does not have death, because it is eternal, it doesn't have death, it means it doesn't have birth also. Akasha can never be produced. Now Shankaracharya says, quoting from Shruti itself, Akashavat sarvagatocha nityaha. Akashavat sarvagatahacha nityaha. It is like Akasha, it is sarvagataha, all-pervading, and nityaha, eternal. Which states those two qualities of Brahman belong to space also. An origin cannot be attributed to the Akasha. Akasha is nityaha, that is what is said here. Atma is all-pervading and eternal like the space. Because of the Shruti Vakyam, Akasha is Nityam and Akasha origination is non-factual. That is the claim of the Ekadeshi. So this is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Shabdacha, that is the sutra, Shabdacha. So from these Vedic statements also, Shabda refers to Veda mantras here. Space is known to be uncreated or unborn. The cha means moreover. So this from the Vedic statement also, space is known to be uncreated or unborn. This is the running meaning. Now it has got two words, as I said, Shabdat and cha. Shabdat means Shabda Pramana. So Veda Pramana, quoted above, the Upanishad that we quoted just now. So Veda Pramana, because of these two reasons, Akasha Utpatti is not there. Akasha is not produced. Therefore, there is no contradiction at all. That is his contention. And the word cha is conjunction. It indicates an additional argument to the previous sutra. So because the topic is what? Akasha is not born. That is the Akasha is eternal, not born. So the Upanishad very clearly says, Atma is eternal like Akasha. That means Akasha is eternal. Therefore, Akasha Utpatti Nasti. It is not there. Akasha is never created. Here, Shruti Pramana is given in addition to the Yukti Pramanam, logical Pramanam, in favor of the Ekadeshi's argument. Now let us go to the next sutra. Syachaikasya Brahma Shabdavat. Syachaikasya Brahma Shabdavat. Fifth mantra, fifth sutra, 221st running Brahma Sutra. Here an argument in support of the above objection is given by Purvapakshi. First, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. Ekadeshi has mentioned that Akasha Utpatti has got the figurative meaning alone. So the word sambhutaha, bond, sambhutaha and bond, must be gauna sambhavaha only. It is only figurative. He now assumes an objection to his interpretation. He himself assumes an objection to his interpretation. And that possible objection, he says, he assumes an objection and answers that objection also. What could be the objection according to the Ekadeshi's contention? He says, Taittiriya Upanishad says, Vayu is born, Jalam is born, Oshadayaha is born, and a series of Utpatti is mentioned. Akashat Vayu, Vayu Agni, Agni Rapaha, Adhya Prithvi, Prithivya Oshadayaha, Oshadayabhyanam, Annat Purushaha. So it says all that, series of Utpattis. And Akasha Utpatti should not be taken literally and should be taken figuratively according to him. Now the Purvapakshi asks whether it should be taken for Akasha alone, figurative, or for all creations also, the meaning should be taken figuratively. That is the question. His contention is for Akasha, it should be taken figuratively. But Purvapakshi asks whether it should be taken for all the other creation also. And according to him, all others are real. Akasha Utpatti alone is Mukhya Utpatti. Space alone is to be taken as figurative. When I use the word, for example, lion, for a lion club member, it is Gauna. For a lion club member, it is Gauna. He's a member of the lion club. He's not lion itself. At the same time, when I use the word to indicate the lion in a zoo, it is Mukhyartha. So in the case of Jalam, Prithivi, Agni, in all those elements, we should take the Mutkyartha. How can you give two meanings to in one context? That question will come. Because when you talk about all the five elements, you leave Akasha and say for all the other elements, I will take the Mutkyartha. For Akasha alone, I will take the secondary figurative meaning. How can it apply in the same context? It is Srishti Prakaranam. And you take figurative sense in one case and literary sense in the another case. So this is an objection to the Ekadeshi. And Ekadeshi says, there is nothing wrong in taking one part in figurative sense and another part in primary sense. There is no problem in taking one part of a statement of a context in figurative sense, another in primary sense. He says, we have to take the meaning while deciding in what sense we should take, and there is no dosha at all, according to him. He also says, in Veda, we interpret one and the same word, both in Gaunartha, figurative, and Mukhyartha, primary also. He quotes another statement from Taittiriya Upanishad Bhrigavalli, that is the second section, first mantra, Tapasa Brahma Vijigyasasva. తపో బ్రహ్మేతి సతపో తప్యత సతపస్తప్త్వా. దట్ ఇస్ అ మంత్రా లైక్ దాట్. అండ్ హీ ఈస్ ఆల్సో, దట్ ఇస్ అనదర్ మంత్రా ఆల్సో హీ కోట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది సేమ్ ఉపనిషత్. అన్నం బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ అన్నాధ్యేవ కల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే అన్నేన జాతాని జీవంతి. అండ్ హీ ఆల్సో కోట్స్ అనదర్ మంత్రా ఫ్రమ్ ది సేమ్ ఉపనిషత్. ప్రాణో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ ప్రాణాధ్యేవ కల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే ప్రాణేన జాతాని జీవంతి. Now Ekadeshi says, in the same case, we take primary and secondary meaning here. There are two statements here. One is what? No Brahman through tapas. Tapasa Brahma Vijignyasasva. So you know Brahman through tapas, tapasa. And what is the next statement? What it says? Tapas is the, in this context is what? Tapas in this context means inquiry or vichara. Through vichara, you know Brahman. So here we see tapas as a sadhanam, a means to know Brahman. So Brahman is sadhyam, that is the goal, and you use tapas as a sadhanam to reach Brahman. So through tapas may you know Brahman. That's what it says. And the next statement is what? Tapo brahmeti. Tapas itself is Brahman. So earlier you used tapas as a means to know Brahman, and now you say tapas itself is Brahman. So previous statement, tapas is sadhana. And here the word Brahman refers to the sadhana, that is tapas itself. So therefore, in one sentence, Brahman is the goal, and in the next sentence, Brahman is the means. Brahman is sadhyam, is the primary meaning. Whereas when Brahman is sadhanam, it is only gaunam, it is figurative. So one and the same Brahman, that word is used in the meaning of both the end and also as means. So here itself, another thing to be noted also. In one case, annam is equated to Brahman and Brahman is equated to prana. And finally, in the sixth canto, Brahman is equated to Ananda itself. ఆనందో బ్రహ్మేతి వ్యజానాత్ ఆనందాధ్యేవ కల్విమాని భూతాని జాయంతే. సో ఆనంద ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్. నౌ టెల్ మీ విచ్ వన్ ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్? అన్నం ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్, ప్రాణా ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్, ఆనందా ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్. సో అన్నం ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్ యాజ్ అన్నం ఈస్ ఫిగరేటివ్లీ సెట్ బికాస్ త్రూ అన్నమయ కోశ వి రీచ్ బ్రహ్మన్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ సేస్. So annam, prana, pranaha, manaha, all those things, they are all figurative Brahman or vyavaharika Brahman, and the real ananda is never experiential. Ananda is not the joy and all we say. This ananda is ananda, ananda, ananda. That is the Sachidananda. So one Brahma Shabda is used figuratively for annam, prana, manaha and all that. And the same is used for ananda also, which is the mukhya artha. So previously we said mukhya sadhya arthe and gauna sadhana arthe brahma shabdaha prayuktaha, we said already. When one brahman is used differently, why cannot we use one sambhuta shabda in gauni utpatti artha and mukhya utpatti artha? That is his question. Why don't we use the same sambhuta? Why don't we use? We can definitely justify the use in both the contexts. According to that is his argument. It is possible. Therefore, my method of resolution is only correct. Who says? Ekadeshi. There is no utpatti of akasha at all. There is no contradiction also in the Upanishads. This is the general analysis. Because in Chandogya context, it is figurative. In Taittiriya, it is actual. Now let us see the word analysis. So let us see the first running meaning. Cha, the conjunction, moreover, and syat means it's a twofold meaning is possible. That's what syat means. It refers to twofold meaning is possible. Ekasya for one word. So twofold meaning is possible for one word. Brahma shabdavate, as in the case of the word Brahma. As in the case of the word Brahman, it has, we got twofold meaning is possible. Now let us see the significance of the word. This is a running meaning. Again, cha means it is possible. Moreover, when it says it is possible, prayoga dvayam means twofold meaning. Dvayam means two, twofold meaning. Arthadvayam, that is Gauna Artha, that is figurative or secondary, and Mukhya Artha, the primary meaning. So there are Arthadvayam, two meanings. So Ekasya means one word. One word can have two meanings. One word means the Akasha Sambhutaha is the one word which has got figurative birth and also actual birth. That's what it means. The Akasha Sambhutaha, it has got figurative birth and actual birth. It is like Brahma Sambhavate, like the word Brahman occurring in Taittiriya Upanishad that we saw just now. So with this, the Ekadeshi Matam is also over. The discussion of Ekadeshis. Now Siddhanta comes in the next sutra. As I told in the last class, we are discussing about three aspects in this: Purvapakshim, Ekadeshim, and Siddhanti. All the three we are discussing in this Adhikarana, in all these sutras. Let us go to the next sutra. next sutra. Pratigya ahanihi avyatihi eka chabdebhyaha. Pratigya ahani ravyatireka chabdebhyaha. It's the sixth sutra, 222nd running Brahma Sutra. So the objection raised in the first sutra is continued in the sutras 3, 4, and 5 that we saw, and that is replied again now. And as we said, the fifth sutra, Ekadeshi Matam, is over, and he has established that Akasha is Nitya and all pervading. Akasha is eternal, it is not created, it is all pervading, according to him. He has established it through whatever arguments he had. And what is Akasha is even now a mystery. And it is not known whether it is a substance or it is emptiness. It's not known to us yet completely. Whether it is positive or negative substance, that is still a mystery also about Akasha. The things positive and negative are born and they die in Akasha, it is said. They talk about the bending of Akasha, expansion of Akasha in science. Therefore, this Adhikaranam gives the Vedantic approach to Akasha. Space. Therefore, this Adhikaranam gives the Vedantic approach, and the view of Purvapakshi was held by scientists also till recently. Therefore, Purvapakshi says, Akasha is Nityaha, and it is a positive entity, and it is not emptiness. Emptiness is eternal, is contradictory. When there is no substance, how can you add attribute to the emptiness? The absence of substance. Absence of substance is adding attribute. So when there's emptiness, is no substance. How can you use adjective for dravya abhavaha? Absence of dravyas, substances. And they say, Akasha is nitya dravyam. It's eternal. This is held by the Tarka people, Tarka Shastras, Tarkikas, they hold this view. As I mentioned, Akasha nityaha. Now we say Akasha is a positive substance, but we say Akasha is not eternal and it is subject to death. Science is also coming around to this idea perhaps. The general analysis of the sutra is what? Vyasacharya says all your confusion will go if you study the definition fully. If you see partially, then there will be confusion. If you see the whole, it will be clear. There's no point in seeing in parts. Chandogya teaching is given here. In fact, many problems in the Veda is solved only by keeping the totality of the statement of the Shruti in all the Shrutis. Therefore, in Vedic analysis, keeping the totality is very important, and that is why people study the text, entire text of all the mantras by heart. The interpretations are based on context. If you remember the story of Shvetaketu, he comes back to his father in Chandogya. Father asks him the question and he says, you seem to be an arrogant boy puffed up with extra Vedic knowledge. Did you ask for that wisdom from your guru by gaining which everything will be known? Father asks him as the son. He goes to the teacher and comes back. He asks the son, did you ask your guru for that knowledge, for that wisdom by gaining which everything can be known? In short, Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam. By knowing one thing, you know everything that is possible. Did you ask your teacher about it? And did you ask for that Eka Vijnanam to your teacher? And Shvetaketu, as an arrogant boy, what does he say? I do not think that my teacher knew this answer. He didn't even ask him. He said that arrogance. Anyway, if such a knowledge is there, why don't you tell me? He asked his father. So Brahma Vidya cannot be given without asking. Any Vidya, for example, Brahma Vidya particularly. And father says that is possible. What is that? Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam is possible. When one substance is Karanam, the cause, Eka Karana Vijnanena, by knowing that one cause alone, Sarva Karya Vijnanam Bhavati, one can know the effects, all the effects one can get. Eka Karya Vijnanena, Anya Karya Vijnanam is not possible. By knowing the cause, the knowledge of one product, Karyam, you cannot know the product of the nature of another product. This is answer to Uddalaka. Answer given by Uddalaka, his father, to Svetaketa. So by knowing the clay, all the parts can be known, because parts are non-different from clay. Product is not different from the cause. This introduction is called Pratignya. So Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam is a Pratignya. So Eka Karana Vijnanena, by knowing one cause, Sarva Karya Vijnanam, all products are known Sambhavati. So having given this Pratignya, the teacher starts from Brahman. Uddalaka, to his son, he starts from Brahman. He wants to say, Eka Brahma Vijnanena, by knowing that one Brahman, Sarva Prapancha Vijnanam Syat, the entire Prapancha can be known. And therefore, Brahma Vijnanam is very great. That's what he is telling his son. This is possible under only one condition, and that is only when Brahman is Karanam, everything else is Karyam, then only this is true. This is in the mind of the teacher when he talks of Baudhika Srishti, the Srishti creation of all the elements, Pancha Bhutas, and Jagat Srishti, this Prapancha. Therefore, Akasha also must be a product of Brahman only. If Akasha is not a product of Brahman, Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam is not possible. If not Akasha is not a product of Brahman, then all Akasha will be a separate entity, being a non-product of Brahman. You can know everything about Brahma Karyam by knowing Brahma Vidya, and you cannot know Akasha then, which is beyond the scope of Brahman knowledge, because you said Akasha is separate. So if Akasha is taken as not a product of Brahman, with Brahma Jnanam, one cannot know anything about Akasha at all. And only if you say Akasha is Brahma Karyam, Akasha is also a product of Brahman, then only one can know about Akasha. If not, none will know anything about Akasha at all. If Akasha is not a product of Brahman, the very proposition will be violated. What is that? Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam will be violated. So we have to accept Akasha is not different from Brahman. This is an important argument which Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya, both Shankaracharya uses in his Bhashyam very importantly, Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnana Pratignya. And it is not a stray occurrence in Chandogya alone. It occurs in Brihadaranyaka. Actually, if you take 2nd chapter, 4th section, 5th mantra to 11th mantra, a series of mantras, we have seen all our big mantras, we have seen that. Sahovacha, Tava, Are, Padyuhu, Kamaya, Patiki, Priyo, Bhavati, Atmanastu, Kamaya, Pati, Priyo, Bhavati. Like that, a series of so many things are said in that mantra, 2.4.4.5. And finally it says, Atmanastu, Kamaya, Sarvam, Priyam, Bhavati. Atmava, Are Drashtavyaha, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyaha, Atmanova, Are Darshanena, Shravanena, Matyavijnanena, Edagum Sarvam Viditam. That is the 5th mantra, 4th section, 2nd chapter. We saw all these things in great detail during our Chandogya discussions. And the next mantra also again. Sayatam sarvasam apagum samudra ekayanam evagum sarvesham sparshanam sparshanam svagekayanam. All those mantras eka vijnanena sarva vijnana pratignya is alluded to. And Brihadaranya Upanishad also corroborates the pratignya by giving the logic and says whole creation is born out of or the product of Atma only. So by saying that, what the Upanishad means? Upanishad means the whole creation is not different from Atma, and therefore Atma Vijnana and Sarva Vijnana. In Mundaka Upanishad also, in the first Mundaka, first section, third mantra says, Shavunako Havai Mahashalaha Angirasam Vidivatu Upasanna Papracha Kasmin Bhagavo Vijnate Sarvamidam Vijnanam Bhavatiti Vijnatam Bhavatiti. What is that, O my Lord, having known which all these become known? By knowing that one thing, all these things, they become known. That is the question asked by the student to his guru. Then Angiras, he answers, Eka Karana Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam Bhavati. By knowing that one cause, everything can be known. All the products are known. It is elaborated in the next two sections also. And it concludes, since the whole world is a product of Brahman, Brahman alone appears as the world. That is a Mundaka discussion. That, of course, we have seen that also elaborately earlier. So this is comparable to the gold. Gold alone, it appears in all ornaments. And the knowledge of gold gives all the knowledge about all the gold ornaments. Same thing about wood and furniture, all the clay and pots and all that. So also are Brahman, the world and its products. So the knowledge of Brahman gives the knowledge of all the products of Brahman. The world is a product of Brahman, and world is non-different from Brahman. And therefore, knowing Brahman, you know everything about the world. So by Brahman knowledge, you can know the knowledge of the world. That is the pratijna. Only if the world is a product of Brahman, this is possible. And if the world is a product of Brahman, then Akasha also is the product of Brahman. And it is not then Nityam. Whatever is product cannot be Nityam. It has a date of origin. Now let us see the word meaning. Pratijna ahanihi. The Vedic preposition, pratijna, can be maintained. Avyatirekat, on the basis of the non-difference. Vyatireka, avyatireka, on the basis of the non-difference of everything from Brahman. Shabdebhyaha. This is known through the Vedic statement. Shabda is Vedas. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. The first word is pratijna. Pratijna ahanihi. Hanihi means violation. Ahanihi means non-violation or vindication. Acquittal, we can call. So pratijna means a proposition. So it is a statement given in the beginning, which is to be explained later. And this statement has to be explained by giving the logic also. Thereafter, we say the statement, which is called nigamana. So in all the cases, first say what you want to say, then explain it, and then say what you said. So nigamana, pratijna, nigamana. So it is nigamana is the conclusion after proof. It cannot be just a conclusion. That should be validated by a proof. So pratijna and nigamanam, they will be identical. So here the proposition is what? Eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam. The validation of Upanishadic proposition of omniscience is gained through knowing one vastu. Avyatireta. Vyatireka means difference. That is separateness. Bedaha. So avyatireka means non-separateness, non-difference. Only by the condition of non-difference from Brahman, then alone Brahma-jnanam will be equal to Sarva-jnanam. Knowledge of everything will be, only then it's possible. Then Brahma-vijnanena Sarva-vijnanam, that pratijna statement will be meaningful. Shabdebhyaha. Shabdebhyaha means the Shruti-vakyams, the utterances of the Shruti. They have been given in the commentary. So these are the significance of the words of the sutra. Shabdebhyaha, it is given. So Shankaracharya adds a few more points here, as usual, by establishing, because they are all to remove all kinds of doubts in our minds. So he gives a few more points establishing akasha utpatti through implication. We have resolved a seeming Shruti contradiction here. In both the Upanishad, Chandogya and Taittiriya Upanishad, Panchabhuta Srishti is given and there is no contradiction at all between them. All the three contradictions are resolved according, that is how he wants to develop his argument. First is Utpatti Virodaha. Pratini Upanishad talks about Akasha Utpatti. It says Akasha Tasmadva Yetasmad Akasha Sambhutaha Atmanaha Akasha Sambhutaha. Akasha Utpatti talks about it. Whereas Chandogya does not talk about Akasha Utpatti. It starts with only Agni. So Chandogya does not talk about Akasha Utpatti. Taitriya talks about Utpatti. So there is Virodha. Utpatti Virodha. Contradiction. And the contradiction with respect to Utpatti is between Chandogya and Taittiriya Upanishad. One talking of Utpatti of Akasha, other mentioning Utpatti of, not mentioning Utpatti of Akasha. And the second contradiction is what? Karma Virodha. So Utpatti Virodha is one, Karma Virodha is another. In Taittiriya Upanishad, the order of production is given. In one Upanishad, Agni is first to be born. In Chandogya, Agni is first to be born. And in Taittiriya, Agni is seen to be the third to be born. First is Akasha, then Vayu, then Agni. This is Krama Virodha. So Krama Virodha is the order. First one is Utpatti Virodha, then Krama Virodha is the order. And the third contradiction is Karana Virodha, causal. In Taittiriya Upanishad, the source of Agni is what? Is Vayu. Vayor Agnihi Agne Rapaha. So Vayu is the source of Agni Utpatti. In Chandogya Upanishad, Akasha and Vayu are not mentioned. It says Brahman created Agni itself. So in one case, Vayu created Agni in Taittiriya. In Chandogya, Brahman itself created Agni. So there are contradictions between the two Upanishads regarding the birth of Agni. And we say all contradictions are resolved now. There is Vayu and Akasha Utpatti, we said. First one was resolved very clearly. And the second and third are not, because all these figurative and also actual meanings, all we went through that. And the second and third are not resolved here itself. These two are going to be resolved in a later Adhikaranam, fourth Adhikaranam of the 10th Sutra that we will see at that time. Therefore, it also has Shruti as Pramana. Now, some intermediary people, they say, because there are so many people who come to interpret Vedas in so many ways. And those people come and they say, we are not at all satisfied with this answer. And they say, you say Akasha is born because only if you accept Akasha Utpatti, Akasha's birth, then only this Pratigya, Yaka Vijnana and Sarva Vijnanam is possible. And because of that, you say Akasha should be born. And this again is possible only when you accept Akasha is a product of Brahman. And he says, it need not be. Why should you assume that Akasha is a product of Brahman? He says, Akasha is Nityam and all others other than Akasha are Brahmakaryam. You can think that way. Diva Akasha alone, Akasha is Nityam. All Agni, Vayu, all those things, they are all Brahmakaryam. Therefore, all others are non-different from Brahman being Brahmakaryam. However, Akasha is different from Brahman because it is not a product of Brahman. Why don't you assume like that? In addition, he says, still I can explain that Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam in this context also. That means what? Eka Karana Vijnanena Sarva Karya Vijnanam Bhavati. I can explain that also according to him. And he adds, Sarva Vijnanam does not have an absolute meaning. All these figurative absolute meaning. Why do you want to include everything in Sarva? In the term Sarva, why do you want to include everything? He asks. The Sarva means all. So Sarva Karya Vijnanam, all products. Suppose, for example, I say, all of you come here, all people who are in the class, all of you come here. And the word all means what? The entire student family only. And it does not mean everybody, entire population, everybody on the street. So here the word all, please come, means all the invitees only. And the Advaitin takes everything in the creation and includes Akasha also, according to them. However, I take all the Sarva Karya Vijnanam excluding Akasha, which does not fall within those created by Brahman. Sarvam means not absolute Sarvam, but it is a relative Sarvam according to him. He argues that way. So what is relative Sarvam? Every product is known and Eka Vijnanena Sarva Brahma Karya Vijnanam and Akasha should not be included in that Sarvam is the argument of this Purva Paksha. I hope you are with me. Now Shankaracharya says, If eka karana vijnanena, only if all the products are to be known, why should the Upanishad talk about Brahman at all? Fundamental question Shankaracharya asks. If eka karana vijnanena, only if all the products are to be known, why should Brahman talk, Upanishad talk about Brahman at all? And even by talking about piece of wood, I can say eka vijnanena sarva vijnana. By knowing wood, you know all about the wood products. Upanishad can talk of the relative karanam. I can say ekya vijnanena sarva vijnanam. By teaching relative karanam, you will know relative sarva vijnanam. If absolute sarva vijnanam is to be known, Upanishad should teach absolute sarva vijnanam and not relative sarva vijnanam. Absolute karanam means that it should include akasha also. You cannot separate akasha and talk about an absolute karanam. He gives another argument also. Eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam is possible even by accepting akasha as nityam, not as product of Brahman. Interesting. Eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam is possible even by accepting akasha as nityam, not as product of Brahman. It can be justified in absolute sense. Knowing Brahman, one knows all the products. It is because products are non-different from Brahman. And therefore, by knowing Brahman, one can know even Akasha, despite it is not a product of Brahman. Akasha must be in and through Brahman only. I hope you are with me. Akasha must be in and through Brahman only. For example, when you see the milk, when you see the examples, we will understand. When you see the milk, you see water also through water, though water is not a product of milk. When you see milk, do you see water? You see water also, even though water is not a product of milk. When you see milk, you see water, which being non-different from milk. You cannot differentiate water from milk. They used to say, yeah, the bird swan, the divine heavenly swan, celestial swan, can differentiate between water and milk and drink only the milk and not the water. Shankaracharya says that knowledge of water or that knowledge of akasha will not be a clear knowledge though. You may experience knowledge and it does not come under clear knowledge. It is like when I experience, for example, milk, I experience water pervading the milk. So eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam is only a manipulated knowledge, we can say, and not absolute knowledge. We know it is manipulation. And the second argument is, if akasha is not a product of Brahman, and if it is nityam and exists along with Brahman, then Chandogya would not have said ekam eva advitiyam. Ekam eva advitiyam, three words. Upanishad should have talked about two things, that is Brahman and akasha. It could have, since Upanishad very clearly says ekam eva advitiyam, ekam one, eva, only, advitiyam, no two, no second. And therefore, akasha is not a separate one and it is a product of Brahman alone. And therefore, our conclusion is that akasha is born out of Brahman. Akasha Srishti has taken place and it is subject to birth and death and it is anitya. That is Siddhanti's argument. So eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam is possible only when akasha is a product of Brahman. Now ekadeshi has to be negated also. So we will see the next sutra. Yavad vikaram tu vikaro lokavat. Yavad vikaram tu vikaro lokavat. Seventh sutra of this adhikaranam. 223rd running Brahma sutra. So the argument that began in the last sutra, sixth sutra, that is concluded here. This is the seventh and final sutra of this adhikarana, Vedikarana. Here, Vyasacharya refutes Ekadeshi Matam, which says Akasha is Nityam only. Through this sutra, we refute all the three sutras of the Ekadeshi Matam that we already saw. And it occurs in sutra 3, 4, and 5. And Ekadeshi wants to prove that there is no contradiction in the Vedas, but his method of solving is a wrong method. He is a supporter of Vedas, but his method of justification is wrong. He says, Akasha is Nityam, and says Agni alone is the first product. This is from Chandogya. And he says the Taittiriya statement should not be taken seriously, according to him. Just as we talk about figurative birth of Jiva, we should take figurative birth of Akasha also. Therefore, he says there is no birth of Akasha at all. Akasha is not really born because the origination of Akasha is illogical according to him. It is not possible. And he gives reasons also for Karana Asambhavat, he says. And to talk about origination of Akasha, the Karanam cannot be established. This we have to refute. Secondly, Prag Abhava Sambhava. This is another reason here. Prag Abhava Sambhava. If you talk about origination of Akasha, you should conceive of a state before origination. Prag Abhava. Prag means before. So you should conceive of a state before origination of Akasha. You cannot conceive what was before the creation of Akasha. Prag Abhava means prior non-existence is inconceivable. And the third argument is Sarvagatattvat. Unlike other things, Akasha is all-pervading. And I cannot conceive of anything except Akasha, which is all-pervading and eternal, Nityam. It is like Atma, it is said. Since Akasha is Nityaha, it is not born. So of these three, Vyasacharya refutes the third argument and dismisses Ekadeshi. He leaves the other two arguments, and Shankaracharya gives the arguments as to on what basis the first two are also refuted. So Vyasacharya cares to refute only one. And Vyasacharya, he refutes the third argument. He says, if you give one argument, I will give a counter argument, he tells him, stating that Akasha is Anitya. If you say Akasha is Nitya, I will say Akasha Anitya. So he thus weakens the arguments of the Ekadeshi. And we say that everything is a distinct object in creation that is born. So Akasha happens. So for example, the fan is the heater, is distinct from chair. So every distinct object is subject to birth. Akasha happens to be a distinct object, distinct entity from other bhutas, from Agni, Vayu, water and all that. So if Akasha is also a distinct entity, it should be also born, and it is only Karyam being distinct like Agni and Vayu. It is conclusive. Then when we go to Shruti, Vedas, Shruti says Akasha is Sambhutaha. Akasha is born. This is the conclusion of the sutra though. Now let us do the word analysis. Vyasacharya says only this much. Yavat vikaram, every product, vikaram means change products, subject to change. Vikaram is subject to change. Tu vibhagaha, tu means indeed, vibhagaha distinct. So having specific entity that makes it different from all other things. This is the running meaning. It is indeed distinct, having specific entity that makes it different from others. Now let us see the significance of these words. Yavat vikaram, it is a compound word. Yavat means all or every vikara, vikaram, product or karyam, every product. Tu means it's for emphasis, indeed. There is no exception to this rule. That's what it means. Vibhagaha means distinct. So every product is distinct with its own specification from other bhutas. Lokavat. Lokavat means every object is distinct and universally born. As in the world, as in the universe as we see. So he gives a vyapti. Vyapti means a generalization here. Yatra yatra vibhagatvam, tatra tatra karyatvam. Wherever there is vibhagatvam, distinction is there. Tatra tatra karyatvam, that is the karyam. It's an effect. So here we have to accept Akasha is a product. Akasha is karyam. Therefore, the third argument of Purvapakshi has been negated by establishing Akasha, because everything is a distinct entity in creation. So if you have to conclude by our argument, then we have to give answer to the next sutra. Next sutra we have to see, then only we can conclude this argument. Akasha is Nityam is proved by Shruti Vakya. And so he says, the word Amritam in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that I read in the second chapter, third section, third mantra, Amritam. So that is used to indicate Akasha and Vayu. Akasha and Vayu, it said Amrita. Again, there is another quotation that Akashavat Sarvagataha Nityaha. That is also says about Akashavat Sarvagataha, all pervading and Nityaha. So once we prove logically Akash is Anityam, its eternity should be taken as relative longer duration. I mentioned to you, Devas live for long years, not that they are immortal. So here also, Akasha is Anityam. Its eternity should be taken as relative longer duration when you say it is Nityam. So the immortality of Devas, as I told, is called Nityaha. It means it is not that they are eternal forever. They are subject to death also. They have very long life compared to us. That's what it means. So Akasha Nityatva Vakyam should be interpreted as longer life of Akasha only, and not it is eternal forever. Also, the Purvapakshi claims that Akasha is all-pervading like Atma. Further, Shankaracharya argues that we don't accept all-pervasiveness of Akasha. Only in the relative knowable world, it is more pervasive than everything we know. It is more pervasive than everything we know. We don't accept Akasha is all-pervasive. It is relative concept only. That's what Shankaracharya contends. And his concept that Akasha is niravayavam, without parts, we do not accept, and it is relatively partless. That is Purvapakshi's, Yagadeshi's argument, all constituents. We do not accept partlessness and all pervasiveness. So Akasha has got sukshma avayavas. It has got subtle parts. By all these arguments, we establish that Akasha is a product, although it is very difficult to conceive. So we may have doubts, but it is difficult to conceive. This is the argument of Shankaracharya. Thus, we have negated the arguments of Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi Matam and established Vedantic concepts, Siddhanti's view. With this Adhikaranam is over. Now we will go to the next Adhikaranam with the next Sutra in the next class. O Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Shri Krishna Atmanam.